confused as to what we're doing here. It will be obvious in a moment. It's us, you guys. It's Bo and Bob. Living by a prayer. Our guest today picked the music.
The way we do it here.
I tell you, I've been living that way all week for sure.
So stay with us, folks. Don't hang up just because you heard a little wild music there. So keep your dial right here. Welcome to You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell, and my co-host is Bob Belts. Bob, you had a good week?
Wrong question. Correct. Hey, good morning.
Hey.
Tough week.
Seems like there's always something coming at you full speed in this world, and that's why we have this program.
Absolutely.
Help people just to be encouraged and joyful, and whether you're fired up and excited this morning or a little bit down about the circumstances of your life, you made a good choice to join us on You Get the Blessing. What we try to do is introduce you to guests that really are living lives that are just wonderful and that are impacting men, women, families around this community, and we've got a good one today. I will go ahead and invite you into this mess.
All right, here I am.
Our guest
living,
is Craig
Living on
Red.
A prayer.
Craig, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
And Craig and I have a lot of things in common. We'll get to those in a minute, but just tell us about life around your home as a child. What were things like?
Well, first, let me say this. You know, you've said this many times. I've heard you say this, and now I realize what you meant when you said that you have a face for radio. And I just concur. I just concur, Bo, that I didn't understand until this moment what you meant. I understand.
How about we leave the jokes to us?
That's right. That's right. We like to make fun of ourselves, but we get really upset if anybody else makes fun of us.
Seriously, Craig, just stick with the questions because that exact joke has been said by the guest 7 consecutive weeks now. So you're just a notch late on that. But I appreciate you taking a shot at me. So I'm going to talk to you, Bob.
Way to open the show. Way to open the show. The guest takes a shot at us, huh?
That's right. Okay. Well received. Do you want to start over?
Tell people who Craig is, by the way?
Yeah.
You tell them.
Okay. My name is Craig Red, and life around the home, as you asked, when I was growing up, was pretty strict, pretty stringent. When my dad was home, worked long hours, never saw him, moved time and time again, never lived anywhere, Bo or Bob, for longer than a year and a half growing
up. What part of the world were you born in?
I was born in California. My dad done construction, and we just moved to and fro all the time. Never got to build relationships with any of the kids in elementary, junior high, or high school. Just constantly on the move.
You know, I had some of that. I went to 10 different schools between kindergarten and 12th grade.
Something else in common contributes to.
Yeah, I stayed the same one. It wasn't all it's cracked up to be anyway.
That's good. So, do you remember feeling loved? You remember feeling nurtured, or just remember packing boxes and moving?
Definitely felt loved. My mom raised us, and she definitely, would love us and tell us we're loved. Now, again, from the fatherly perspective, never really having him around too much because he worked from 4 in the morning till midnight pretty much 7 days a week just to make ends meet. And, but loved, I was loved and nurtured. I was.
Even though that was a feeble attempt at humor, I do find you to be very comfortable in your skin and speaking in great sense of humor. Where'd that come from, your mom or dad?
That came from my mom, yeah. That would be a characteristic of my mom.
You got a big, wonderful personality, and I know our listeners are going to enjoy getting to know you today. Yeah. So when did you start on the journey that has led you to the ministry you're in right now?
Well, really, the journey had to start probably 11 years old when I took my first drugs, which I stuck a needle in my arm at the age of 11. For the very first time. That was the very first time I didn't drink first, didn't smoke cigarettes first. I was skipping school one day and got turned on to this drug called cocaine, and it was all down here from there.
So we have listeners that have 10-year-old kids, 11-year-old kids, and they're thinking to themselves, now did you just find this on a counter somewhere, or were you in the wrong part of town? Did someone show you how to do it? What's the first step there that led you to do this?
Well, skipping school was the first step that led me there and put me into contact with the other people that were living that kind of lifestyle and just being around neighborhood of trailer parks and the area that we lived in just kind of led me to those type of people.
So almost the scripture, idle hands are the devil's workshop.
That is very apropos.
Yeah. I think a lot of parents today, too, and I think I fall into this category. You never imagine our kids getting into, you know, stuff at that age. But the reality is it's pretty remarkable and a little scary what kids and, you know, even fourth, fifth, sixth grade are dealing with these days.
It truly is.
In the book of Jude, it's the 21st verse says, stay always within the boundaries where God's love can reach and bless you. So you kind of stepped outside of those boundaries and paid a heavy price for doing that, didn't you?
I did. And growing up, my mother was a believer, and I didn't find this out till years. My dad would always stifle that part of her and tell her, you know what, don't bring it out into the open. Don't let the children know that you're a Christian, and keep it in your room. And I remember always late at night hearing my mother speaking, knowing my dad wasn't home, but I would hear her talking. I kind of grew up thinking my mom was a little cuckoo, but reality was she was in there talking to God, down on her face before God for her family. Mm. The miracle in all that is everybody, including my dad, is saved now in our family.
So what happened next in terms of your drug issues? I want to get to, I don't want you to speed through it, but I do want to get to the good side of this where you're now helping others.
Well, what happened was with that lifestyle came a lot of criminal activity that really kept me in juvenile detentions and in jails growing up. That was the lifestyle I lived. Ran away from home at the age of 14. Left home, didn't let anybody know where I was at or anything until after I turned 18. So I was gone for that 4.5 year stretch, basically, after leaving home. So I came home when I was 18, called them and told them, look, I'm done living this life. I need some help. They said, okay, they thought I was dead, joined the Army. They weren't sure. But they said, yeah, we're here for you. Came in, moved me back in.
And helped or not much?
Not much, because I still had some rules and regulations that my dad had that he you know, had to live in the house, and I still rebelled and said, I'm not living under those rules and regulations, and I left home again.
So what finally got you busted thoroughly enough to stick you behind bars for such a long period of time?
Well, the scenario behind that was losing a child in 1998. My wife was pregnant at the time, and we lost a child, and it kind of flipped my life upside down. And
you mean like a miscarriage?
Yeah, it was a miscarriage. It laid in pregnancy, and it was kind of at first thought that I had caused pretty much the pregnancy of my own selfishness. It's one of these things where I wanted her to do something, go up Bar Trail on Pike's Peak, and she was like 8 months pregnant. And she said, I don't feel good, Craig. I said, oh, come on. So I egged her on until finally she throws up her hands and says, okay, fine, shut up, I'll go. That type of thing. So we go. She ends up getting some really strong pains. Take her to the hospital. Loses the baby. Find out a little bit later that it was natural causes, that it had nothing to do with that. But the damage had been done internally to me and my family, thinking that I had played a huge part in the death of our child.
For pushing her into taking a hike.
Yeah, for pushing her into taking a hike. We found out later, again, it was natural causes. But the damage being done kind of split me. I was a believer at the time. I was a born-again believer. Instead of running to the wide open arms of the cross, I ran to the wide open arms of the world to ease the internal pain, which led to drugs again after 17 years of being clean and sober.
So tell us quickly, Bob, when he talks about born again, quickly, what does that mean for someone who may just have joined us? And it obviously doesn't mean you're perfect, because you can run right back the other direction.
Yeah, it's actually a great term in terms of what the scripture teaches, and unfortunately I think that the culture around us has maybe heard it in some context that they began making, you know, kind of fun of it. But the reality is, in John chapter 3, Jesus really says to a guy by the name of Nicodemus that unless you've had an experience where really God has invaded your life and created new spiritual life in you, you can't ever see the kingdom of God. And so really, when we talk about coming into a relationship with Christ and opening our life to Him and inviting Him to come and live in our life, we experience this new kind of a spiritual birth that Jesus talked about in John chapter 3. So it's a very important thing. But again, I think a lot of times simply, and I don't know all of the reasons, but at least kind of in the culture at large, if you use the term born again, it doesn't always fly real well with people. But if you know what somebody's talking about, it's a you know, it's the most important thing that can ever happen to you.
And yet, once God gets hold of us, allows us to make choices, we can still look him right in the eyeballs and say, watch this. I'm going to do whatever I want to do.
Yeah, because we're still free. And I think that I really think what Craig's talking about happens to a lot of guys. It's not that you don't have a, you know, an authentic encounter with Christ, but, you know, that as we talk about the good news when you make that decision and ask Christ into your life is that Christ is in you. The bad news is you are still in you. And that battle between the old and the new is something that really is part of the kind of spiritual growth process. And really, you know, God gives us freedom to, again, just kind of, you know, reject him and go do what we want to do. And it's, you know, it gets us out of relationship with him, and it tends to make a mess out of our lives again. But good news is that forgiveness is still there and grace is still there, and you can turn it around. And obviously that's what happened in Craig's life too.
So this is You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell. You just were listening to Bob Belts. Our guest today is Craig Redd. And we were just talking a little bit about Craig had received Christ, become a born-again Christian, and then basically made the choice to go off back into a world of sin and evil. Some of you listeners have contacted us and have said that you appreciate what we do on this show because we hope we do come across a hope, as you said, to people accepting you, because there's nobody that's messed it up in their lives more than me, unless that would possibly be Bob.
Yeah, I think I'm... I think you messed it up more.
So I saved the biggest messes of my life till I was past 40, and am thankful that God didn't let go of me. And it sounds like you really got into some dark places.
I did. And the reason for the going to the dark places to begin with was as a Christian, as a believer, I had set a foundation of waking up early, studying God's word, being alone with him in a period of time. But prior to us losing the child, I started to slip away from those basics that I knew that were my foundation, and I started a business in a vinyl siding company. And that took me away. My early morning prayer time was now my drive to work, and it was listening to sermons on the radio, listening to K-Love on the radio. That had replaced my communion time with God in the early morning. And before long, it really wasn't that important to me. I just needed to get to the job site, needed to make the money, needed to pay the bills. With that part of my life gone, when the tragedy struck, I just simply wasn't prepared. And being ill-prepared as I was, I crumbled. And when I did, I was using migraine medication to ease the internal pain. It didn't work. So I turned to harder drugs, back to the cocaine and the heroin, and the other drugs that really just took me down a road I never dreamt I would ever go back to. So that didn't ease the internal pain I was running from either. So with the drugs came criminal activity. And what ended up really taking me off the streets to where I could get my head clear and where God could really get a hold of me was I ended up robbing 12 banks and 4 grocery stores in a 19-day period in Colorado Springs.
12 and banks?
12 banks.
4 grocery
four
stores?
4 grocery stores.
So you were actually pretty good at this. 19
days. Well, unfortunately, I was...
16 hits in 19 days. That's got to be a record.
16 hits in 19 days. The case involved such extenuating circumstances. The police in Colorado Springs knew the circumstances behind it. They knew I'd been involved in the community prior to this. And there was such an outpouring in the community for my benefit when I went in front of the judge. He ended up giving me a year for every robbery. So I ended up getting a 16-year sentence.
So is that, were these federal banks or state banks?
They were federal banks and state banks both. Once the feds found out that with the circumstances, there was never a gun involved, no weapons or anything like that, they decided to drop the charges and the state took them.
Gotcha. So off you go to place to live like Mars.
Off
where
I
they
go.
Just drop you off.
I was looking at 96 years and deserved it. I deserved every bit of the 96 years, but by the grace of God and that mercy that Bo and Bob have spoke about is definitely what took hold in my life because I got 16 years.
So how many years did you actually serve before you got out?
A little over 10, 10 and a half.
And what happened behind bars to prepare you for what God's got you doing now in ministry?
In 2003, I had a general outreach ministry, just pointing people to who Jesus was and letting them know about his love while I was incarcerated. So in 2003, one of those gentlemen I had become acquainted with on that level left January 23rd of that day, of that year, January 23rd of 2003. 2 days later, I found out that this gentleman, who we'll name Chill, that was his prison name, was Chill, he OD'd and died the same day he left prison. And that broke my heart. And I posed the question to myself, and I asked, was there anything else I could have done to make sure that Chill had a safe place to go? And a resounding yes came back and said, you know what? God started speaking, said, not verbally, but in my spirit, said, you know, start a Strong Tower ministry and give the men a fighting chance to not return to their old lifestyle and give them hope. So at that point, a Strong Tower ministry was birthed in my heart.
Yeah, tell, I've heard friends talk about that first, you know, few days out of prison. I think most of us have no clue how tough that is. I mean, you kind of just get dumped on the street with nothing, and if you don't have some kind of resources, the the probability of getting right back in trouble is pretty high. So tell us what actually happens the day you get released.
The day you get released, it depends on a few things, but for about 80% of those that are released in the Denver area, they come out what they call homeless. They're dumped at the Greyhound bus station in downtown Denver, and they're expected to go from there to find them a place to live, to the parole office, and get their first set of schedules for their meetings they have to do and everything they have to put together. They're expected to do that right off the bat, as well as pay their restitution, pay for all the classes they have to take. They're expected to do that right off the bat.
And I have just enough experience with both sides of those bars that I can identify with what you're saying. My story is too long to go into right now, but let me just say, when you come out, you do really feel like, I remember cars felt like weapons to me. I was thinking, boy, somebody's crazy for handing out these driver's licenses like this. And everything's going so fast that the tendency is to go back to your comfort zone, go right back to your same dark spots before, because that's kind of the only place you feel like is available to you, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember the first 3 weeks of my reentry, I was physically ill. There was sights I haven't seen. There was sounds I hadn't heard, smells I hadn't smelled, and things. It just, I was overwhelmed. My whole body was overwhelmed with all of those sights, sounds, and smells, and I became physically ill for 3 weeks. I was just knotted up, and I was really physically ill. But fortunately, and this is where the ministry really comes in, is I was plugged into a body of Christ, a local church in Denver, that really took care of me and met my needs from day one. And that's what we try to do as a ministry. Our number one goal is to catch them at the bus stop and plug them in right off the bat to a local church that can help meet their needs, whether the need is housing, bus fare, jobs, whatever the need may be. We want to really catch them right then and show them the love of Christ by helping them meet those needs immediately.
So folks that are listening that think, man, I've made so many big-time mistakes, there's no way there's a God that loves me and wants me on the team and would forgive me and accept me. I couldn't be more wrong.
Our story is just simply a story of God's redemptive love for mankind. He definitely did not have to take me and mold me into the man he's made me today. He could have left me there, left me destitute, left me in my sin. But he had another plan, and his plan was for me to come out of prison and made in his image to come out and help others come out and reenter and also see that they're made in his image. And the whole goal of the ministry is to give them a fighting chance to not return to their old lifestyle. The only way I know how to do that is point them to the cross and the forgiveness that lies in there.
So, Bob, we get on the sin slope, and you're sliding around out there like every person that's part of the pool of humanity, and my sin is swearing when I miss a jump shot or when Mello misses a jump shot. The next guy's sin is looking at a woman with lust, and the next guy's Craig, he's got a drug problem. Tell me how's that all wash in terms of God looking at this big mess called sin that we all are participating in.
Well, he hasn't ranked it exactly, you know. So I think, you know, there's part of what we, you know, learn in Scripture. First of all, that we all, you know, we all miss the mark, which is really what the word sin means. I mean, again, that's another one of those words that I think people that aren't sort of, you know, haven't joined the club yet, they hear the word and it's got a lot of baggage to it. But the reality is it basically means that God set a standard and we can't keep it and we miss the mark. And it creates a lot of problems, you know, initially spiritual death and separation from God, and then just kind of going our own way. So I think that part of what the Scripture teaches is that, that there's not like, on the one hand, is lying worse than stealing? And, and some people will say, well, I really haven't done anything really bad. Obviously, you know, there are, you know, there's degrees. It's a lot different to harm another person and have your sin, you know, create problems for them. So, you know, anytime you do, you know, I mean, like murder, killing someone, those things, you know, obviously are more serious, from our perspective, but the reality is that, you know, even the small things keep us away from God. So Christ died for all of it. And I think that, you know, our tendency can be to forget, that it's only grace. You know, the church is the only club in the world you can join. And the only way you can join it is by being a failure. And the reality that's so bizarre is that we get into the deal and then suddenly we become self-righteous, which is, it's crazy because we're all there because we failed. And God's given us a second, a third, a fourth chance and trying to turn it around. So when we look at somebody that has been caught doing something that in our system is going to send them to prison, they come out, you got a pretty big stigma you got to have to get over too. And I think that, it's I love the fact that you guys are hooked into a local church. And I think that, it would be great for all local churches to have some kind of a connection, with something where the reality is, hey, you know, we're not better than these guys. We aren't helping them because we're better. It's, it's like another beggar showing another beggar where to find bread. It's the old illustration. So,
amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So you guys have a great connection here in Denver, I think, don't you?
We do. Yeah, we do. We have a great local church that really goes out of their way to make men get rid of that stigma, to help them get rid of that stigma of being an ex-con, and let them know, you know what, you're loved by Christ just like we are. And I just want everybody out there listening to know that God's no respecter of persons. What he's accomplished in my life, he can accomplish in anybody's life. If there's somebody out there that may be out there just strung out on drugs and doesn't know how to get free, just know that God's there for you, and his love extends far beyond what we could ever imagine.
Start giving out phone numbers, websites, how people can get in touch with you, either people that want to help or people that need the help.
Website they can go to is stmreentry.org.
Strong Tower Ministries.
Strong Tower Ministries.
STM.
Phone number is 303-502-7078. Is the phone number. The address is 2959 Franklin Street. Now that's in Denver, 80205.
And I promise you, folks, if my life was just laid bare here on the radio before you, I have messed things up more than anybody, and I'm very happy to be serving a God that's in the forgiveness business.
Amen.
Fresh starts, new beginnings. So you get a dynamic leader like Craig, who's just about, through his own actions, put himself permanently in the bench, and you probably were effective in prison, but now that you've come out, you're heading this great ministry. So tell us one of your favorite success stories lately of somebody that you've become involved with. We just got a couple minutes to go, but give us a quick story.
We've got a gentleman named Paul Harris, who was acquainted with me, a friend of mine on the inside, who we helped through the ministry on the inside when we had it, but he's just recently been released. And he's in a halfway house, so he comes down to the office there on Franklin Street every day to go on the computers and look for jobs and do job search. So he's down there day in and day out. He's there for about a week or two, and finally he comes to me, and he just looks at me with this big smile and gives me a hug and says, thank you for being here and operating in Christ as you do, because I got a great job. Somebody had come in there and offered him a job, so he starts work on Monday, And he is just ecstatic the fact that somebody has taken a shot and letting him do this.
Give me the phone number again, the website.
The phone number is 303-502-7078. Website is stmreentry.org, and they can reach me on my email at astrongtowerministrypbc@gmail.com.
And I think you're handsome. And I think you're funny.
Hey, you have a radio face. Really? You just got a great radio face.
I'm not going to rip him. I think he's got it all, and I'm glad God's using it, Craig. So we'll get Wendy back, your wife, on the program another time. Is that a deal? Get that mark. It's a commitment. So thank you for being our guest today. And
thank you guys for having me. This has been a wonderful blessing.
Bob, God loves to forgive us.
You know, we're all prisoners. We say that, you know, a lot. You know, our prisons might not have bars on them, but all of us are fighting a battle, and we all need some help when we get out. And, you know, I'm glad that that's why the body of Christ is there, where churches are, be open and embracing. And if you're listening today and you don't have that, you know, we just encourage you to try and find a place where you can be together with other believers and study God's word, get freed up. You know the truth will set you free, Jesus said.
And in the words of Groucho Marx, I refuse to join any club that would have me as a member. So God wants us all in this club called Christianity. So call a friend, call Craig, and we'll see you next time here on KOA.
Let us help.